Welcome to Tribecast. I'm Forrest Walden, founder and CEO of Iron Tribe Fitness. And on this podcast, I am going to help you find your tribe and maximize your life. Welcome to episode 4. Welcome back. I'm Forrest Walden, founder, CEO of Iron Tribe Fitness. We are going to wrap up the fact map process today. So if you're jumping in and this is your first podcast with me, make sure you go back and listen to at least episode 2 and 3 so that you're not completely lost as we start talking about Q1 targets today. But before we jump into that, I just want to talk about a little bit of the feedback I've gotten. We launched this podcast last week. So far, we've had over 1,100 downloads. I've gotten 35 five-star reviews on the podcast, and that's awesome. I'm excited about that. Just want to share a few of the feedbacks I've gotten directly because I think it's powerful that the message is resonating with people. Here's one from a guy in Atlanta. Forrest, you inspired me to get honest with myself and level up on body and business. I've been lying to myself about my health. The lie is, well, you're one of the top 10 dudes in your gym, so you're okay. But I'm taking clear and decisive action. Thank you. So that was a great message from my buddy in Atlanta. I've gotten a few others that I wanted to share. A friend of mine named Eric in New York. Hey, bud, I'm listening to your podcast, episode 2, right now. I'm sure you're hearing this from others, but for whatever it's worth, I appreciate you putting this out. I've always held you in high esteem, so this kind of energy, insight, and straight talk is more valuable to me than may be apparent. Anyway, thanks for starting down this path and sharing your journey with the rest of us undergoing a similar process. So, Eric, man, thanks for listening. I'll keep cranking out this content. And then finally, a buddy of mine over in Athens, Georgia, bro, your recent post where you talk about mental masturbation, whew, that put into words exactly the transition I'm trying to make. Doing instead of sitting around and learning. I've been paying attention to your post on Instagram lately, and you're inspiring me. Thank you for your leadership. So, you remember I talked about anytime you put content out there, you put your voice into the world with bold declaration. This is who I am. This is what I stand for. You're going to experience two things. Do you remember what that was? After all this verbiage, episode 4, you're going to experience praise. I just shared some of that with you. And you're also going to experience persecution. So this morning on Instagram, if you're not following me, you should, @ForrestWalden, I took one of the emails that I got, and there have been many. I just chose one that was to the point and very direct, and it was brought to you by the letter F, and it simply said, Forrest, F you, you effing faggot. And it was sent to tribecast@irontribefitness.com, which is the email for any feedback you want to send on the show. And, you know, I screenshotted it, I blurred out his name, and posted on Instagram, just talked about, hey, here's a great opportunity to reflect on the fact that when you put your message into the marketplace, you are always going to receive praise and persecution. So I have two reactions. I can choose how I want to react to that negative feedback. Number one, I could say, man, you know, the praise is great, but some of those are my friends, and, you know, of course they're supposed to say nice things. And I could fixate on the persecution. Oh my God, who was that? What have I done to that guy? Let's Google him. Let's see if I can find him. Is he a member of one of my gyms? I mean, what have I, you know, and it could have ruined my day. But honestly, I just laughed and I said this would be a great opportunity to teach. So I screenshotted it and I shared it this morning, and now I'm sharing it with you. It's funny, my wife posted on the Instagram stream and she said, why am I just now hearing about this? Well, because it had zero impact on my day. And so my question for you as we start episode 4 is, are you comfortable enough with who you are and your message and your tribe to communicate and to put your own message into the world? Because it's a guarantee that you're going to receive praise and persecution. Are you comfortable enough to even, you know, market for your business? Or are you so paralyzed by the comments on your Facebook ads that you literally don't even spend money marketing your business? Like, everything about leading is going to come down to you being able to really take both the praise and the persecution, and they both fuel you. And so if you don't have a tribe around you of producers who are propping you up and urging you forward, you're constantly going to be playing small, because you're going to be surrounded by people who themselves are playing small. Remember that box we talked about? They're in a small box, and here you are listening to Tribecast, doing fact maps, getting real with yourself, telling yourself the truth, and you're starting to realize, oh my God, I'm in a box. And as you start to expand, it will mess with other people's heads. They'll feel threatened, and they will send you emails brought to you by the letter F. And you, again, you can say, you can laugh it off and said, well, you know, Forrest told me that was going to come. Or you can just let it wreck you and like dwell on it and, oh my gosh, how did I offend somebody? And maybe I need to soften my message. No. Communicate from your heart the message you have been given to communicate to the world, you and only you, and just know there's going to be praise and persecution. So I just share that with you just to give you an example of this happens at all levels. And in my experience, the more you grow, the more you expand, the more you lead, the more you're going to experience all of this. You will get people coming up to you at your kids' baseball games and saying, hey, man, great post. Let me tell you, you know, it resonated with me. But you're also going to get exactly what I got yesterday. So know it's coming. It's part of the process. And really, you should just embrace it as the sign of I'm growing. I have a marketing mentor named Dan Kennedy. We actually wrote a book together a couple years ago. And he had a saying that I always thought was funny, and it was, if you've not offended someone by 12 o'clock in the day, you're simply not doing enough. And I think that's also very consistent with the old saying that the only way not to offend somebody is to do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing, especially in this polarized, super hyper politically correct environment that we live in today. If you think you're going to communicate any type of message, especially a bold message, and not receive a serious kickback from the keyboard vigilantes, you're deceiving yourself. So I will quit beating a dead horse, but what I don't want to see happen to you is you have a false start because you get a little bit of negative kickback right out of the gate. All right, so we are going to move into Q1, all right? So if you're at this point in the podcast, episode 4, what you should be bringing to this episode are your fact maps. You got real about where you were across body, being, balance, and business. You looked at the fruit. You associated and linked up the feelings with that fruit. You dove into what was my focus that created the feelings that created the fruit. And then ultimately, you looked at the facts, what's working, what's not working. Then we looked out 12 months into the future. Who is the man that I see on the mountain 1 year from today? And you went through the same process again. Body, being, balance, business. 1 year from today, what will be true in my life across the those four domains? And again, as you looked out across those four domains, you said, what will be the fruit in my life in 12 months? What will be the feelings I link up to that? What will I need to focus on? And then ultimately, your facts are not what's working and what's not working, but what do I need to learn and what do I need to leverage? So at this point, you have your fact maps of where you are, where you want to be. And we've talked about there's a gap, right? If you're healthy, if you've done this right, there should be a gap between where you are now and where you want to be. And remember, if there's not a gap, all that means is that you really were actually scared to go through the process because you don't want to put something out there that you might not achieve. The fear of failure actually is causing you to play small. So knowing you follow this process, I know you're not in that position. Probably more likely you're in the position, same position I am when I go through this process of looking at that man 12 months from now and being overwhelmed. And realizing, okay, there's a gap. But we talked about inside the gap is the fear and the excitement that creates the energy to actually allow you to create this vision. So let's talk about some of the problems of the gap, because it's real, all right? And so number one, it can be overwhelming. we talked about being in a box, right? And so you're in this little box and you're seeing the man out in 12 months thinking, man, how in the world am I going to pull all this off? It was great to go through the exercise, and I got in state, and I got inspired, and I wrote down what I really want, if I'm completely honest. And now I'm looking at it thinking, holy smokes, where do I even start? And what begins to creep in is panic. Oh, man, I wrote this stuff down. Like, now I actually have to go do it. And so, number one, it's overwhelming. Number two, problem of the gap, you start to question, how in the world do I do it all? And before you know it, you're dwelling on things that really don't even need to start happening until Q3 and Q4 at the end of the year, not what's right in front of you. So again, problems of the gap, it's overwhelming, number one. Number two, you start dwelling on future stuff. Number three, you start problem solving on irrelevant stuff. Have you ever done that? Like, you set this goal and all of a sudden you're like not really sure where to start. So you start by cleaning your desk or cleaning your garage or just something like has nothing to do with the intentions you just set. You just feel like you should be busy and start moving. So we're not going to do that here, all right? We're going to identify that could be busy work that's not truly getting you closer to your target. So again, problems of the gap, overwhelming. You start to dwell on how do I do it all. You start to problem solve on irrelevant stuff. And then finally, you avoid the work that's right in front of you. Tony Robbins has an awesome quote that says, anytime you set a goal, never leave the sight of that goal without doing something towards its attainment. Get the ball rolling. Start to make that next action. Let the other shoe hit the ground, so to speak. So once you've done this, it's going to be really clear what to do next. And the worst thing you want to do is avoid that work that's right in front of you. So you want to take this big 12-month journey and compress it down into a 3-month sprint. Because I will tell you right now, annual goals can be completely overwhelming. But a 90-day sprint is something that you can totally wrap your head around and execute every single time. So what we're going to do is we're going to set a manageable Q1 target that focuses on building the fundamentals and the foundation of you as a producer on the path of hitting all 4 targets so that your impossible game actually becomes doable. If you're in the business world, quarters are common vernacular, and you would understand that to be the end of March, the end of June, the end of October, the end of the year. And that's exactly how we're going to set up our year on this FactMap process. And again, if you're not starting at the fiscal beginning of the year, it's not January 1st, that's fine. You can set it out 3 months in the future from wherever you're starting. So essentially, we're going to build this into 3-month blocks. Okay, so let's talk about some key principles to actually winning this impossible game. Number one, you have to focus on wins and learning. And what we so often do is we put ourselves on a teeter-totter. And on one side is right, on the other side is wrong. On one side is good, on the other side is bad. One side's righteous, the other side's wicked. One side's just, the other side's unjust. One side's saint, the other side's sinner. And we live in this state of, I'm either doing the right thing or I'm doing the wrong thing. I'm either crushing it and winning, or I'm getting my ass kicked and losing. And there's no middle ground. And we literally beat ourselves up on one side of the teeter-totter, and we over-glorify our accomplishments on the other side of the teeter-totter. And especially if you're an entrepreneur, but really anyone in life, you experience these highs and lows, and one day you're up and the next day you're down. And some days in the same calendar day, you're up and down and your spouse never knows who's coming home at night. Can you identify with that? I know I certainly can. So what I'm going to challenge you to do right out of the gate with this FactMap process is to only focus on 2 things. There are wins in your life and there are learning opportunities in your life. You are in a constant state of testing. Did it work? Did it not work? Okay, it worked. Great. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to scale it. I'm going to figure out a way to do more of that. Did it not work? Okay, great. Let's do a course adjustment here. What did I learn from that encounter? And a course adjust and do it again. But what we can't do is live on the teeter-totter. So that's number one. Number two, you must gather micro wins. And this is so huge. We typically only celebrate the huge wins. Oh man, I set this annual goal and I hit it, and yes, here I am. But what we have to do is literally celebrate the daily micro wins. So I'm going to give you a lot of examples from me in this process. But I told you early on, my annual target in body is to finish the year 200 pounds at 8%. That's where I want to finish the year. And so some micro wins for me was adjusting my workout schedule a little bit, incorporating more bodybuilding style workouts in my life that I did growing up, equipping my garage, buying dumbbells from 5 pounds to 100 pounds, hiring a coach, laying out my diet, laying out my supplement plan. Like, I hadn't even started the month of January, and I already felt like I was winning because I was taking all these steps in the right direction. So celebrate those micro wins. Small compounded wins over time is the key to this whole game. Little hinges swing big doors. So the mindset here is I am stacking up wins. Again, number one, wins and learning. Number two, gather and stack micro wins. Number three, simply, you must stop stopping. You remember the children's story of the tortoise and the hare. Everyone has heard that story. Undoubtedly, that story has been read to you. You have probably read it to your children. But there is so much truth in Aesop's fable of tortoise and hare. You got the hare that just blows off the starting line. The tortoise is just plodding along. The hare figures, man, I got this thing wrapped up, so I am just going to chill and sit on the sidelines. Very comparable to the last episode where we talked about Luke 12. The wealthy farmer has all this grain stored up from years to come. What is his response? 12:19. I have many goods laid up for years to come. I will eat, drink, and be merry. Thinks he's found peace, thinks he's found contentment in his things. Jesus looks to him and says, you fool. Tonight, your very soul will be required of you. So back to tortoise and hare. You got this hare. He's winning the race, and he relaxes. He kicks his feet up. Same thing for us. You don't have to be fast. You don't have to enter your next 12 months blowing and going and setting the world on fire. You just simply have to stop stopping. Stop putting yourself on the teeter-totter. Stop, you know, completely obliterating yourself when things don't go the way you want them to. All right? Stop stopping. You don't have to go fast. And then fourth, commit to finding the way no matter what. And here's the mindset you've got to go into this process with. No matter what happens, I will find a way and I will handle the crap that's directly in front of me. That's it. Every single day, I'm not going to live on the teeter-totter, number one. I'm going to gather and stack micro wins, number two. I'm going to stop stopping. And then I'm going to celebrate the fact that today I didn't stop. And tomorrow, I'm not going to stop. And then finally, my mindset's going to be no matter what happens, I'm going to find a way. All right, so let's move into Q1 production strategies. And Q1 can be first quarter of the year, or it can be your next 3 months. But essentially, it's just the first 90 days of your year. And so what I want you to do is I want you to find a whiteboard. I did this on the mirror in my home gym in my garage. But get a Sharpie. This is not an area where you use your journal. You need a big space to map this out. And with each domain, you're going to do this same process. I'm going to use body as our example. So I'm going to write body up on the whiteboard. Under that, I'm going to put my annual target. I'm going to circle that. And then off that circle, I'm just going to have little dashes, is I start to do a brainstorm of what should my target be in Q1 that is going to move me closer to my annual goal. And so there's a lot of things that I could be doing. I could commit to finding a training partner. I could commit to signing up for our perform classes at Iron Tribe, which are the most aggressive athletes in our brand. I could equip my garage. And I'm just reading off the list. I took a picture of this when I was done. I could hire a coach. I could pull back out my training templates that I used 15 years ago when I was a competitive natural bodybuilder. And so I did this all around the circle and ultimately just laid out what are all the targets that could be possible. So that's number one. And so you're going to do that in body, you're going to do that in balance, you're going to do that in business, you're going to do that in being. And then number two, you're going to select your possible targets. And so from here, you're just going to evaluate of the potential targets that I just did a brainstorm on, which one will ultimately help me the most to get me to my 12-month target. And so number three, you're going to contrast for feeling and alignment with my impossible game. What target will give me the most confidence? Who do I need to be at the core? And then finally, you're going to pick, okay, this is the Q1 target across my four domains. Playing the game in all areas of my life, this process will result in my Q1 target. So, body, brainstorm. Balance, brainstorm. Business, and I'm going to give you examples. Brainstorm, being, brainstorm. Then looking at this brainstorm, evaluating all these potential targets for Q1, selecting which one for feeling and alignment is going to move me closer to my annual outcome, and selecting one for each category. Now keep in mind, there are so many things you could do in every domain, and what I want to caution you against is trying to pick multiple things for each domain because you will set yourself up for failure. And so as we start to look into the planning portion, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where everything we've talked about for the last three episodes really comes down to it being actionable and something you can literally execute. So I want you to listen closely to this next part. This is establishing your plan. You're going to do it across all four domains. You're going to have Q1 targets across all four domains. And as you start to evaluate Q1, I want to go back to some of the problems that we started talking about, the problems of the gap at the beginning of this podcast. You can feel overwhelmed. You can feel anxious. You can start doing irrelevant crap. You can be focusing on things that you need to be doing in Q4 and not tell Q4. So Q1, here's what I want you to think about. You want to build a foundation of mindsets, skill sets, habits, patterns, and behaviors. Q1 needs to be about acquiring all of those things that I just mentioned that are going to help you become the person you need to be to hit your annual target. So, and again, I'm going to give you examples of this, but I have an income goal for my business in 2019. What I used to do is I would take that income goal, I would divide it by four, and I would say, okay, well, if I want to make $1 million in 2019, I better be at $250,000 at the end of Q1. And if I'm not, I'm losing. Again, teeter-totter. Now, I got to double down and pick it up. Well, what I've learned is that can be completely overwhelming. And if I will focus that Q1 target on literally becoming the leader and the CEO and the mindset, skill sets, habits, patterns, and behaviors that I need to achieve that goal, to be that man in 12 months, it sets up my year to win. So number one, establish your Q1 targets. Number two, part of the plan, complete your entire fact map for Q1. I can hear you groan. Yes, we've got to go through this process again. Remember, stick with me. This is where it becomes powerful. You are, again, you're going to pull out your journal and you're going to say, all right, here's my target for Q1. This would be the fruit for me at the end of March because I started this at the beginning of the year. Here are the feelings I link up with that fruit. Here's what my focuses are going to have to be. And here's what I'm going to have to learn and leverage to make that happen. So again, 16 more fact maps for Q1. Then when you finish that, you're going to review and contrast your completed Q1 fact maps with your 1 year impossible game. And again, look at them side by side. Is this going to get me to my target? Finally, the fourth part of your plan is you're going to select a start date, you're going to build an accountability group, and you're going to share your challenge with that group. So the start date should be pretty simple. Once you have this dialed in, you pick the date that you're going to begin the plan, and then you know 90 days from then, you're going to set timelines for your Q1 targets. Now, the accountability group, that's a little bit more difficult. And I say at the beginning of this podcast, find your tribe. I'm going to help you find your tribe. What does that mean? It means you have to have a core group of men or women, if you're a female listener, in your life that are willing to speak truth into your life. I have I've taught multiple goal setting workshops, and I always tell people, share your goals, but be careful who you share them with. Share them with other goal setters. And so I would say the same thing here with your fact maps. You might want to make sure that you have people in your life who may be listening to this podcast and going through the same process, or at least are the type of people that you know set goals, have written plans to accomplish them, hold themselves accountable from what they said to what they actually did. Those are the people you want in your circle. Because what you don't want are people who are telling you things like, you know, why are you working so hard? Like, what in the world? Like, take a break, because they're uncomfortable. So, huge part of this game is to build accountability into your life. I've already recorded several podcasts with the way I do that, so that's going to be coming soon. Even a quarterly retreat I just went on with five other men that every 2 days out of every quarter we get away and do some accountability work. So I'm going to share a lot more of what that looks like to create that tribe. But just know that's a key part of your game and winning this game. So when the F emails come, like I talked about at the beginning, you can simply laugh it off, talk about it with those guys. They can say, yep, getting the same thing. It means you're doing the right things. And you move on. So huge part. So I'm just going to touch on that one more time, the four parts of your actual plan. Number one, you establish your Q1 targets from your brainstorm. You understand that you're working on mindsets, skill sets, habits, patterns, and behaviors. Number two, you're going to complete your entire FATMAP process for Q1, just like we did for where you are now and where you want to be at the end of the year. Number three, you're going to review and contrast your completed Q1 maps with your 1 year impossible games. And you're going to say, is this going to move me closer to my target? Have I picked the right quarterly targets? And then finally, you're going to pick your start date and build your accountability group. So the amount of energy and effort that you put into this planning process will be a direct determination on what you actually obtain. You can't just hustle your way to these games. You will inevitably drift and lose the have-it-all lifestyle. There's so many people out there preaching just hustle, just go, just grit, determination. And that's an important part of this. But if you do that without laying the foundation, we talked about in episode one, if you want to build this big skyscraper of a life and you want to do all these amazing things, yet you're not willing to put the time and attention on the foundation, you're not willing to slow down long enough to truly plan out and lay the plans, then you're looking for an easy button. And if you've gotten this far in this podcast series, then I don't think that you're the type of person who's looking for an easy button. But you've got to do the work. So I want to say that one more time. The amount of energy and effort you put into this planning process will be a direct determinant on you actually obtaining these targets. You can't just hustle your way to these impossible games. You will inevitably drift, and you will lose the have-it-all lifestyle. You'll drift. And again, double down, do this process, build a solid foundation. So that is the complete fact map process. And what I want to do now is just share with you some of my outcomes, some of my targets that I developed as part of this process in Q1. So as of this recording, we are getting here, we're in March now, so I'm over two-thirds of the way through my first 90 days of this year. I had Q1 targets in body, being, balance, and business. And so let me just share to help you unpack how you can do this in your own life. So I'm going to start with body because I've mentioned it several times. We actually did a coach's six-week challenge here at Iron Tribe. And so I have some pretty well-developed, young, studly coaches who took me up on this challenge to say, let's all compete against each other. Let's do the same things we ask our clients to do. And so we did before and after pictures. We did before and after in body that measures muscle mass and body fat and scale weight and all that type stuff. And so my goal was to put on the most muscle of anybody in my group of coaches over that six-week challenge. So that has just come up to a conclusion. I have not gotten on the InBody. I will do that this week. So I don't know if I hit that yet, but that was my target for Q1 body. And so I knew my feelings would be confident, proud, limitless, encouraged, and jacked if I hit that goal. So that was the feelings I knew I would link up to that fruit. And then my focus was, you know, I've been doing my own workouts. I've been doing Iron Tribe workouts for so long. I think it's time for me to hire a coach. So I've actually hired a coach this quarter to work with me on my diet, to work with me on some of the extra bodybuilding workouts that I've been doing in my garage. And so I set a focus for me was I was going to have to become a great student and be a master implementer. So instead of me teaching and training on body, I would be receiving and not be so egotistical to think that I know it all, but to be receptive of a coach. And then also created an affirmation for this focus. And I said, my garage will be the greatest self-improvement project of all time. Sounds cheesy maybe, but like I know that the time I spend from 5:15 to 6:30 a.m. in my garage is going to have massive impact on the rest of my life. And I'll get into my morning routine. I think that's a huge part of going forward from here. But those are the focus and then the facts. What do I need to learn? What do I need to leverage? Well, I definitely need to leverage all the information and the education and everything I've learned over 30 years of working out, 20 years in the fitness industry. But what I need to learn was what this coach has to teach me, a new diet template he gave me, some new workout styles that I've never done before, some movements I've never done before. So that was my learn and leverage. And again, I've said this throughout, but body and business are the easiest to measure. So let's move into some other ones that probably aren't as easy to measure. Let's start with balance. And I actually brought my wife into this process, which was really good for us. I'm a big goal setter and she's not. She's a stay-at-home mom. She was a nurse up until we had our first child 16 years ago. And so she's been full-time homemaker, four kids, lots of laundry, lots of cooking. And, you know, she's always been very resistant to the goal setting process, making comments like, well, I mean, what am I going to do? Set a goal that I get my laundry done. So to bring her into this process has been great for us. And so we set our balance target together. And what we ultimately came up with was to join a Tuesday night marriage class that our church was putting on. And it was pretty intense, 2 hours every Tuesday night from 5:30 to 7:30 with homework every day. And we looked at that and said, okay, if we're going to commit to this, we know a couple of things. Number one, we're going to have to get the kids taken care of. Number two, we're probably going to miss some games, and we have to be okay with that because attendance is required to be in this class. And ultimately, we said, okay, that's what we want. We haven't done a marriage study in years. We've been married 19 years. Seems like when you first get married, that's all anybody does is all these marriage studies and Bible studies, and then you start to have kids, and that's not the topic anymore. Then you're focused on parenting and all those other things. Well, we felt like we really just need to get back in lockstep with each other. And so the feelings we would link up to the fruit of a marriage class would be connection, intimacy, to be known, to be pursued, to be happy, to be unified. And then the focus is there's no more important relationship in our lives than our marriage. Another focus was we got to create the space to be honest and to work on ourselves and our marriage, and this will create a huge ROI in the rest of our lives. And so what do we need to learn? What do we need to leverage? We've been married 19 years. We've been through a lot of these studies. We've worked through a lot of stuff over our 19 years. We need to leverage that and how well we know each other and our love for each other. But learn, we've got to be open to learning new things, new tools, new techniques, ways to relate better as a team. We're in a group of 12 other couples. Most of them have been married 5 years or less. And so we could easily look at them like kids. What could they have to teach us? Or we could go in and say, man, what can we learn? What have we lost as, you know, not being newlyweds anymore? And it's been a huge eye-opener for us. We've gone through what our love busters are for each other. We've relearned what our love languages are for each other. I had a huge epiphany that I felt like I could never win in my own home because I was always trying to express my love through acts of service. And she doesn't receive acts of service as her love language. Her love language is physical touch, affection, and intimate conversations. And so through colliding over this and learning that she wasn't receiving love when I thought I was giving love, she essentially laid out three things that she wanted me to do every day. And that's a long, good, intentional hug in the morning and telling her I love her. A check-in call in the middle of the day when I'm not checking email that shows that I value her and want to hear about her day. And then finally at night, some level of intimate conversation with the TV off and the kids not in our room. And just doing those three things, and there's been so many others just from this study, has been incredibly impactful to us. So I just wanted to give you an example of an area, a domain, that's not as simple to measure as maybe a body goal. You know if you're at 200 pounds and 8%, did you hit it or did you not hit it? And so marriage, my outcome for the year is to have a marriage on fire, physically, spiritually, relationally. What does that look like for us? It starts right here in getting back to expressing love the way we receive it and not the way that we want to express it because that's how we receive it. I'm like, how does my wife receive it? Okay, so that's a great example in marriage balance. I will give you one more example of my being outcome. And the reason I want to talk about my being outcome is because you are a recipient of it right now. When I looked at being, and it could be interesting. In fact, it was interesting to me when I did the mind map. There's so many things that come into effect with my relationship with Christ. I want to be more involved in my church. I want to continue to lead the small group that I have that meets every Friday morning at my office. I want to be more of a spiritual leader for my company and have a company-wide devotional. Like, there were all these things up there. But I wrote down, start a podcast. And I looked at that and I thought, you know, is that really a being outcome? But I realized where I want to be at the end of the year in my being for 2019 is I want to be leading and discipling men and to put my voice out into the world and communicate what I've learned over the last 19 years of being an entrepreneur and 19 years of being married. And I just see such a lack of authenticity in the space of leading men. And so I just kept resonating with start a podcast. Man, is that really a being outcome? Well, ultimately, you know that I chose it because you're now listening to the result of my Q1 target in being. And so I'll just share with you what I linked up to that target for the fruit and the feelings. Feelings would be excited. It would be proud. It would be empowered. And I say empowered because it's something I've wanted to do, but I've put it off forever. Accomplished. On the focus, I wrote better late than never. You know, I could beat myself up. I'm like, oh, I should have done this years ago, so therefore I'm not going to do it. No, like better late than never. Another focus is I must get my voice into the marketplace. And then another focus was putting myself out there will force me to gather content and be a better storyteller. There's nothing like actually doing it to make you prepare and to make you deliver. So then on the learn leverage, I had a bunch to learn. How to podcast, how to host with a guest on your show, how to start creating content and post on social media. Not a huge story that I'm not a social media guy. I hate people who put themselves out there and create quote-unquote content. That's not me. I had to learn my own style. Had no idea what I was doing. Still really don't know what I'm doing. But I've posted every day in the year of 2019, which is probably more than all my posts the rest of my life put together. But I knew a part of me getting my voice out there is to start communicating more and to be clear on my message. So then on the leverage side, I've got friends, I've got staff members who know a lot more about this stuff than I do, and I've had to leverage their knowledge. I mean, down to the basics of, oh my gosh, how do you create spaces on your Instagram post? Because I see a space, and then when I post it, it all runs together. I mean, just basic stuff, and some of you may be laughing at me right now, but I didn't know. It wasn't my thing, and so I've had to learn. So just wanted to share and get real on my Q1 process as I looked at the man on the mountain in a year and then really came back to, all right, Q1, mindset, skill sets, patterns, habits, behaviors. What do I need to do in Q1 that lays the foundation for the man in 12 months? So I'm going to close there. You are through the fact map process. It's exciting. I wanted to start here because I wanted to give you something that's tangible, that's actionable, that I truly believe can absolutely change the next 12 months of your life and to give you permission to create a life that you only dreamed about, maybe in your quiet time alone or when you're daydreaming. Let's daydream and then let's build Q1 to get you there. So, great start. Where we're going to go from here, I am going to talk about what is your morning routine. I see that as a key cog to making all this work. Because if you remember when I introduced the topic, the last thing I want is for you to go through this and then 90 days from now, look at it for the very first time and say, did I hit it or not hit it? Or worse yet, go through this and 12 months from now, say, all right, did I hit those targets or did I not hit those targets? That's not how this works. Because that will not happen. It's a daily game. And so we'll get into what daily it looks like, what does your morning routine need to look like, and then I'm going to bring other people on who I've seen live this type of lifestyle and just talk to them. Some of them are very high achievers. Some of them you've never heard of, but let's talk to them and let's gain some information. Let's gain some tips. Let's hear some stories about how applying this and how they've been able to really master four domains to be four-dimensional men and how they live. And I'm going to let you sit in on one of my accountability groups, and I'm going to draw some nuggets out of some of these men that I spend time with. So that's where we're going. Again, thank you, everybody, for the feedback, for both the praise and the persecution. I accept it both. Thank you for the reviews. If you want to communicate with us, tribecast@irontribefitness.com is the email address. Would love for you to go to iTunes and subscribe, give us a 5-star review, leave me a review, would love to see it. Obviously, that's how you grow your podcast listeners, so would love for you to do those things, but keep listening. But more than all of that, don't do all of that at the expense of not doing your fact maps. Like, do your fact maps. That's what I want you to do the most, so that when we come back on next episode, next week, next Friday, you've got all this done and you are locked and loaded for Q1. So, let's do it. This is Forrest signing off. I'll see you next week. This is Tribecast.